Galatians 6 and 2, and I'll read this and come back to it. It says, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Bear one another's burden and so fulfill the law of Christ. Keep your Bibles open because I'm going to revisit Galatians 6 in just a moment. But I found it interesting that every creation speaks to the uniqueness that God has placed when two individuals would come into relationship. During the fall of every year, geese migrate from the north to the south to escape the winter. And it's interesting, even as we would observe the relationship that geese share, that as they would fly in a particular formation, that the flying relationship that geese share allows them to get towards the place they're headed. They fly 70% faster when they are in proper formation or proper relationship with one another. When their wings are flapping at the same rate, it provides a lifting power that they could not receive on their own. When they come into relationship and say, we are going to a particular destination, they can fly faster and farther because they are in agreement with one another than they could on their own. It's interesting because when we look at these geese, they honk at each other, even in the formation. And as they are honking at one another, they are encouraging one another on the journey. And this encouragement gives them the necessary inspiration to do their part in the flapping of their wings. It's even interesting when you study this because if one of the geese get hurt or injured or become sick on the journey, that two of the other geese would fall out of formation and sit with the one that's injured or sick until it recovers or dies. Then they will join back another formation, because these geese understand that there's a special relationship when they come together. It's interesting because if we had to apply a scripture to this, the Bible says that one can put 1,000 to flight, but two can put 10,000 to flight. That there's something supernatural that happens when individuals would come in to relationship. Okay. And I'm not talking, brothers and sisters, about just marital relationships, but I'm talking about professional relationship. I'm talking about your spiritual relationships with your brother and your sisters. Relationships are very important because just like these geese, you can accomplish very little in life by yourself. And if you would be honest in here this morning, there is very little that you have accomplished in your life that you can solely take the credit for. But there was somebody that helped you along the way. There was somebody that aided you. Even though they may have just been in your life for a season, God put you in relationship with somebody so you can get to where you're going. All of creation speaks to this. The economy is built on people being in relationship. That I offer a service, you come and receive my service, I receive your goods. That education is built upon relationships between the teacher and the pupil. That communities are built upon everybody working together in relationship. And there is no such thing as a lone ranger in the body of Christ, because everybody will need somebody at some time. Oh, and I come to drive out this independent spirit in the body of Christ of thinking that I don't need nobody else. I can do it myself. The devil is a liar. You might not need everybody, but you will need somebody if you're going to get to where God has for you to go. Look at your neighbor and tell him, you need somebody. You need somebody. Yeah, you need somebody. You know, you ain't going to make it throughout life by yourself. And sometime you're going to need somebody to encourage you. You're going to need somebody to be in companionship with. You see, what happens is the devil understands that if I can break you away from relationship, then I can defeat you. And you can always tell what's near and dear to the heart of God by what the devil attacks consistently. And we can see it all over our world that the devil is attacking relationships. See, they are designed for us so that we can achieve everything and we can be everything that God has called us to be. Your journey in God, my brothers and sisters, will involve you being in relationship with other people. And if the devil can keep you alone, he can keep you unproductive, he can keep you in toil, he can keep you, watch this, in misery, and eventually he can defeat you. Look what the Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter number 4, jot that down. It says, I love this scripture, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. It says in verse 10, for if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls. For he has nobody to what? To help him up. Touch your neighbor and say, we need somebody. Amen. Look what he says. He says, again, if two would lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one person stay warm by themselves? Because they say, scoot over some. Amen. Yeah. Look at verse number 12. I love it. It says, though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him, and a threefold cord is not easily broken. See that? He's saying, you might get weak by yourself, but if you can get somebody to stand in agreement with you, he says, wherever there's two or three that are standing in agreement, then I'll be a God in the midst. I wish y'all were seeing this. Everybody will need somebody in your life to help you to make it. Everybody will need somebody to make it. And so, therefore, we have to know how to handle relationships. Because there's going to be somebody in everybody's life that's going to be difficult to love. I'm waiting for you to get that. You got to see them tomorrow. There's somebody in everybody's life that's difficult to love. And sometimes they'll have your same last name. And they are difficult to love, but they are essential for your development. See, sameness creates comfort, but difference creates development. You didn't get that. Sameness creates comfort, but differentness creates development. That when you have people around you that's the same, you're not growing. But whenever you can get people that rub you the wrong way, it's always going to foster some type of growth in your life. And some of us need to stop being so small-minded that you only hang around people from your hood, from your color, from your creed. You need to get around some folks that's different because that's going to foster your development. And some of you wouldn't have a prayer life that you have if God wouldn't put some different people in your life that you're saying, Lord, you're going to have to keep me Monday morning when I go into that office because they are just different. And so this was what Paul is trying to do here in the churches of Galatia. He's trying to let them know, listen, it's not enough for y'all just to come to church. Y'all going to have to live in community together. Y'all going to have to be in relationship together. And he's letting them know that you're going to have to let the laws of Christ form these relationships and to hold them together. Because in your relationship as a Christian, there should be something different about you. That now, you're not better than anybody else. But there should be a different spirit about you. That you shouldn't just handle people any kind of way. There should be something different because Jesus is living on the inside of you. You see, your Christianity is not going to be known by the scriptures you quote. It's by the cross you bear. Because anybody can quote the scripture, but everybody can't carry the cross. And must Jesus carry his cross alone? No, there's a cross for everybody. And there will be times when some relationships will require you to carry your cross. Oh, do I have anybody that know about carrying their cross? There's going to be some time when there's some folks you love and you're going to say, Lord, I'm just going to pick up my cross. And Paul gives them, he gives them four laws of relationship. I want to title this today, Four Things Jesus Taught Me. Because when you're in these difficult relationships, you need to know what Jesus is teaching you through his life and through his ministry. Here it is. The first law is the law of rescue. Everybody say rescue. Say it again, the law of rescue. It's right here in verse number 1 of Galatians chapter number 6. It says, brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespasses, you who are spiritual, do what? Restore such a one in a spirit of what? Gentleness. That's very important. Considering yourself, lest you be also tempted. The law of rescue. See, it speaks to the relationship that we are to have with individuals who have moral and personal failings. Individuals who done messed up. People who knew better, but didn't do better. He says, if you're gonna be a Christian in relationship, you have to understand the law of rescue, because there will be instances when people in your life that should have known better will not do better, and they're gonna jeopardize their reputation, they're gonna jeopardize their family, they're gonna mess up their Christian walk. And he says, those of you who are spiritual. I like it, because he was really dealing with these self-righteous individuals that was in the church, because individuals at those times, they ain't got them in here, but in other times that when they were self-righteous, they were always thumb their nose when other people would have moral failings. But he says, no, if you really are as spiritual as you think you are, you wouldn't be ridiculing, you'll be rescuing them. Because real people who have the compassion of God on the inside, they don't ridicule folks. They try to restore them back to a relationship with Jesus Christ. He says, those of you who are spiritual, he says the determination of your spirituality is not going to be how well you talk in tongues. Because you can talk in tongues in here and you can cuss me out there. He says, no, what's going to determine if you're really spiritual is how do you handle people when they fall. See, and we got a tendency in the church to shoot the wounded who coming into the hospital, that we want to talk about, look how short her skirt is. Girl, did you see how many goals he had in his mouth? No, you don't know what them people been through. You don't know what kind of life they had to live. But those of you, if you really spiritual, try to help restore such a one. I like it, because he says, those of you who are spiritual, restore. That word restore, it means to set back in place. Like a bone that's broke. If like a doctor would come with a spirit of gentleness and put the bone back in place. Oh God. And see, as Christians, we got to know how to rescue one another. That when somebody falls, that ain't the time to go getting on the phone spreading out, girl, did you hear about what done happened, what she done did, what he done did? No, he said, you got to learn how to restore people. If you're going to get on the phone, you better be getting in a prayer meeting, not a gossip meeting, to say, you know what, I don't know why that happened, but I believe God can restore anybody. And you got to start praying for that. He says, the law of rescue. I love it. I love the end of this verse before I move on, because everybody in here can participate in this one. Oh, yes, you can. Because see, he says at the end of this verse, if you don't think you could do it, just consider yourself. See, and we got too many prophets in the church that don't have a mirror.
Because sometimes as a prophet, you can see that way, but you can't see this way. He says, so before you start trying to ridicule somebody else, you need to look at the man in the mirror. And when you really look in the mirror, you can say, Lord, it could have been me. Lord, I know I don't have all of my T's crossed and all of my I's dotted. So before I try to put you down in the mud, let me go ahead and help you out because I'm considering myself. Oh, don't look at me in that tone of voice, because some of you did some stuff yesterday that should have had you out there bad, but God looked past your faults and met your need, and you got to help somebody else out.
See, when everybody else walking away from them, those of you who are spiritual ought to be walking towards them. Because can I tell you what Jesus did? That Jesus, the man who knew no sin, he came down and became sin so that the sinners can become the Son of God. I'm trying to help you with your theology that you're not a Christian because you hang around a bunch of saints. You're Christians because you help convert sinners to Christ. That's exactly what Jesus did. He saw us in our sin-sickened state and he rescued us. We was on our way to a burning fiery hell. And he rescued us. And he said, the same thing that Jesus did for you is what you have to do for somebody else. What Jesus taught me, number one, he taught me the law of rescue. That when my brother or sister is going through, I should help restore. Hallelujah. And so many relationships are torn up because we don't restore, we ridicule. God has given us a ministry of reconciliation. He's called you to bring it back together. Mm-hmm. Number two, here it is. The law of relief. The law of relief. Let's write here in verse number 2. I read it to you. It says, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Paul tells them that, listen, you have to be given to giving people relief. He tells them that you got to help them out with their burdens. Because when you help other people with their burdens, you're fulfilling the purpose of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus is a burden bearer. Oh, yes, he is. That when he sees that you are weighed down with burdens. That word burden means a crushing weight. It's as if I have a freezer on my back and you see me struggling underneath the circumstances that I'm dealing with. That what you're supposed to do is come and put your shoulder underneath that thing and give me some relief. You're supposed to help me with the burden that when I've lost a loved one, you're not supposed to just let me go through it by myself. But you're supposed to call and encourage somebody. You're supposed to send some relief to those who are going through. That when my child get locked up or when my marriage is going through, you're supposed to help me with some relief. Because Jesus was a burden bearer. And there's going to be certain events in your life that everybody's going to need some relief from. There's going to be certain times when life is going to hit your house and the church and those who are in a relationship is supposed to rally together and we ain't supposed to look at them and say, I'm praying for you. No, it's a time where I need you to give something so that you can provide some relief to somebody that's going through. I wish I was hearing this today because Jesus is a burden bearer. I wish I had a witness in here today and somebody know that when your load got a whole lot heavier than it should have been, that Jesus bared your burden. That Jesus picked up a weight off of you. Yeah, and he says the same thing that I did for you. When you see somebody else going through, you help bear their burden. I know your child is doing all right in school, but can you help somebody else's child out? Because you gotta help them bear the burden. He says, bear one another's burden. I'm trying to teach you how to have healthy relationships. You got to, first of all, be given to rescue folks.
You got to pray for them, man. Because the world don't care about them. They're going to put them on the news. They're going to put them on blast. But you should have a different perspective. You should say, Lord, that could have been anybody on the news. He's talking about, how can he do that? No, how you do what you do. Pray for such a one who's fallen. Restore them with a spirit of gentleness. Consider yourself. But then he says, bear the burden.